This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
8:48 right now, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Tanjung Han. Hello and good morning. If you've just joined us, you've just missed The Breakfast Grill with the Agriculture Minister, Dato' Salahuddin Ayub. You can catch that interview on our BFM app. You can listen to the full conversation, which it will be up shortly. Now, I would like to say thank you to everyone who's submitted questions and comments on WhatsApp and Twitter. There's a whole list of them. I'm sorry I didn't get to them, but that interview was a recorded interview. It was done yesterday at his office in Putrajaya, and we apologise for the technical difficulty just before the 8:30 news. But I'm guessing a lot of our listeners have insights into the agriculture industry. Some of the questions that came in were very precise and very, very technical.
Yeah, indeed. I was actually quite surprised. Well, firstly, I think I learned quite a bit about the agricultural sector from that grill, but also judging by the comments that we're getting from urban Malaysians in response to that breakfast grill with the agriculture minister. You know, we got questions on papaya seeds, paddy, obviously durian.
Specific licensing on paddy. Brilliant. I guess lots of inside information coming in from our listeners. Thank you. You can keep sending us, sending them our way. I'm sure we will look to get the agriculture minister back on and we can direct all those questions to him and his people. But for now, let's take a quick look at some updates on 1MDB because the Deputy Inspector General of Police, Tan Sri Nor Rashid Ibrahim, he says that investigations into 1MDB have revealed that almost 3 billion ringgit was deposited into the former Prime Minister's personal bank account with AmBank. So Dato' Sri Najib Razak, apparently there were three companies that deposited money into his account. These are familiar names to those following the 1MDB saga. Mm-hmm. So Goodstar, ABA Investments and Tano Finance.
All right, just to give you some more numbers here, police detected 132 transactions of illegal funds connected to 1MDB and investigations are ongoing. Now, the net appears to have widened. More than 50 people within and outside the country apparently have received the money. Now, whether or not we'll find out the details of those 50 people, we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the idea is also, I believe, this was the first time that the former Prime Minister had, I don't know whether he admitted to or he said there was a possibility, it was open to the possibility. So he said for the first time that the source of the 2.6 billion ringgit in his personal bank account could have been from Tano Finance. I thought that was quite a revelation because I hadn't heard anything that I guess confirmed one way or the other.
Yeah, because in the past, the line from the former Prime Minister was, well, when he was Prime Minister, was that this is a donation right?
And he didn't know the source of it,
right? Yeah, so he's still sticking to that narrative, but then he adds a bit of a quantifier in his Facebook post just posted up yesterday at 6:57 p.m. to be precise. I'm looking at it right now. And he talks about, well, yeah, the money is going to come through this Saudi prince, either through the prince's bank account or through his companies, including Tanor. Right. So it looks like the former Prime Minister of Malaysia is now perhaps open to the possibility of saying, well, there is this possibility that this money could be linked to 1MDB.
And I wonder what repercussions that might have on, you know, making that kind of an admission or open to that possibility. Mm. The other key player in the 1MDB saga, of course, is Joe Low. Police will not be revealing the whereabouts of Joe Low to prevent any disruptions to the investigations. But they're saying that they need the cooperation and assistance from the country that he is suspected to be in. I think at last look, we had all kinds of rumours. He had been cited in China, in Hong Kong, in Macau. Abu Dhabi was also one of the countries that he'd been seen in.
Yeah,
there you go.
Then equanimity was also docked off, you know, like either was it Bali or
Thailand?
Bali.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Who knows, right? So yeah, plenty of updates here. So giving you more updates on 1MDB related news. How about this one that was picked up by The Edge where they took it from Page Six. Now, Page Six is this online portal. If you Google them, they brand themselves as a site for celebrity gossip and entertainment and whatnot. And well, here you go. You've got 1MDB making Page Six content as well. So it looks like Joe Low, according to this story, Joe Low is alleged to have given Kim Kardashian a gift, a Ferrari, a white Ferrari worth $325,000. This was for their wedding, or the wedding between, not between Jolo and Kim K, he wishes.
No. not the Kanye wedding either. Yeah.
This is the wedding between Kim K and Chris Humphries. I can't believe here on The Morning Run, we're actually mentioning Kim Kardashian.
I never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah, blame the age there, people. Well, no, I'm kidding. We love you.
The funny thing is, when you talked about Page Six, famously known for high society news, right, in all the papers. The Edge cleverly put this story also on Page Six of the Edge Financial Daily today. So if you flip the paper today, it's on Page Six. So Jolo famously being around Miranda Kerr,
Paris Hilton,
Leonardo DiCaprio. Who else can we throw in the mix? Why not Kim Kardashian? Let's make it an all A-list star, right? Yeah. So there you go. You've already got the lineup for the next movie of 1MDB.
Well, they got to give back that white Ferrari, though. You do know that, right?
Well, there you go. Yeah. The thing is, you know, on a more serious note, the monies that are due back to Malaysia, right? So whether we can get the money from 1MDB, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng is saying that we should be so lucky, or we would be very lucky, if we got back even half of the funds from 1MDB. Realistically, the government can only recover 30%.
Yeah, so now just to manage our expectations there, we are not sure what that 30 or 50% is pegged to. It wasn't mentioned. Now, I just as a point of reference, recall that the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, had previously mentioned a target of recouping about $4.5 billion from this entire 1MDB debacle. So don't know if that 30 to 50%, that's based on that $4.5 billion, or is that just on overall 1MDB funds alleged to have been siphoned off?
Yeah, so not quite sure what that target is of recouping, right? Okay. But speaking of Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, he said the ringgit has been one of the best performing Asian currencies this year. And this is indicating local and foreign investors' confidence over the ringgit's relative strength. I guess this is despite the change in government we saw during GE14.
Yeah, well, so this was in response to the former premier's Facebook post. Man, those two have been going back and forth.
I think this is in response to that, for sure.
Yeah, you know, so they've been going back and forth, all right? So the idea here is that, okay, look, the ringgit year-to-date has been faring well. Now, yes, that's true. I'm looking at Bloomberg data right now. You know, year-to-date, the Malaysian ringgit has fared well, even with this emerging market sell-off, right? But if you look at the final paragraph of the MOF's statement, once again, talking about the ringgit's recovery in the medium term, only if all these scandals, you know, relating to 1MDB, etc., that's all cleared off. Now, I wonder if that really is driving the global forex markets here. And then looking at the ringgit as well, if you're going to look at it through the political lens, right? If the Ministry of Finance, YB Lim Guan Eng, is going to say that, well, the ringgit has been faring well so far this year, he's going to have to give a lot of credit to Dato Sri Najib. Because if you draw this line, say, on May 9th, right? So from the January 1st of this year until May 9th, yes, the Malaysian ringgit was the second best performing currency in Asia after the yen. Guess what? After May 9th till now, we then fall far down the pack. All right, okay. We are declining by I just lost my page there. We have declined by about 4.5% or so since May 9th. Yeah, 4.6% to be exact.
Now, the ringgit has weakened.
Yeah, weakened 4.6% against the US dollar since May 9th. We are sandwiched between two countries, the Philippines and Indonesia. Both have twin deficits. Twin deficits being fiscal deficits and current account deficits.
And therefore a bit more vulnerable to changes. Yeah.
Whereas here in Malaysia, we only have a fiscal deficit, and that's been there for a few years now. We still have the current account surplus, although to be fair, the current account surplus is dwindling now. So question is, why the bigger drop since May 9th versus the entire picture so far in 2018?
Well, Han, can I ask if this is driven by the stronger dollar?
Yes.
Because broadly speaking, you know, that is what's been driving Forex fluctuations in the past few weeks.
Correct.
Right? Specifically.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, so the tightening of US monetary policy, stronger dollar, and what Trump is doing with his fiscal stimulus plan, that's driving the US dollar higher. Now, in recent weeks, we have seen this emerging market sell-off, contagion fears, although that's been going on for a few months now. What I'm pointing to is this, you know, the Ministry of Finance talks about, well, the ringgit is faring relatively well, right, so far this year.
In the region, yeah.
But then he has to give credit where credit is due then. You know? So if he's going to view it through the political lens, which I don't really subscribe to, you're right, Mel. I, like you, we do this on the World Market Watch every other day. So we look at the broader pictures. If you're looking at it from the political sense, which the Ministry of Finance is doing, then you got to say, well, Najib, you actually did well with the ringgit up until May 9th. Since May 9th, there's a bigger, a sharper drop compared to other currency. You've got the FGV Group President and CEO, Dato' Zakaria Arshad, who has been suspended from his post for the second time in 2 years.
Yeah, you're right. This is the second time in 2 years. It's quite interesting because Dato' Zakaria has said he's not going to go quietly. He told the Edge Financial Daily that he would contest the suspension. So the board of FGV issued a notice of inquiry to Dato' Zakaria following... the conclusion of their internal investigations. They were looking at 10 critical issues, and they said that each of these issues had led to financial losses for FGV and its shareholders. So Zakaria then responded saying that, you know, of the seven out of the 10 issues were actually related to FGV's unit, Delima Oil, Sundram Berhad, and that was, according to him, old issue.
Yeah, all issue. And you know, I think last year in a report to Bloomberg, you know, he spoke about how perception is one of the key challenges for FGV. And back then, you know, he was very much focused on the fundamentals of the company. Now that he's out of the picture, or at least it looks like it, although he said he's not really going to go down without the fight. But, you know, whether or not FGV with its new leadership, whether they can actually turn things around. Recall that this stock has fallen by 66%. Since its IPO back in 2012, okay, 66%. But to Zakaria's credit, right, if you go back to 2016, within the first 4 months of him taking over FGV, he actually turned that stock into Malaysia's best from being Malaysia's worst, right? So again, this is purely in terms of share price performance.
Right.
The company had a 28% surge in the, I believe, the second quarter of 2016 there. That's when Zakaria basically took the reins over the FGV. So yeah, you know, looking at what's happened right now.
Wasn't he touted to be the turnaround man, the golden boy when he came in? I guess, you know, the leadership structure or the leadership changes within FGV has really been something of a, I don't want to call it a revolving door, but you know, there's been so many people, three CEOs in 6 years. We have not just Dato' Zakaria Arshad, he is the third CEO in 6 years. Previously, there was Dato' Sabri Ahmad, who was the CEO up to July 2013. His contract expired, and then Dato' Muhammad Emir Mavani became CEO. And that, you know, that was a 2-year contract that expired as well, but he stayed on as CEO on a month-to-month basis, which is not ideal in terms of a long-term strategy.
Yeah, no, certainly. So the idea is that whoever is going to fill in the, you know, Zakaria's departure will, you know, hopefully be there for the longer term. And also recall that Zakaria, also known as Zach, apparently.
Dato' Zach, yeah.
Yeah. You know, look, he prevailed in that leadership tussle last year with then-chairman Isa Samad, right? So he won that battle. But then here we are about some 12 months later and looks like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, is this the final? I think it is, right? Because the board has said, we're going to strip you of your powers as the group CEO.
I'm not sure if there's an appeal process or what other avenues he has in terms of a recourse. But, you know, I'm actually rooting for FGV because of the stakeholders, right? I want them to get their act together because of the people involved in this. If they fail, then that means, you know, you've got the settlers, fortunes in their hands. So you're thinking about the future of these settlers. So I'm hoping they can get their act together. I'm hoping they can get, you know, the leadership structure sorted out. But we'll have to see whether investors will be confident enough in this stock, because at the end of the day, you know, it's really about investor confidence in this company.
Actually, very important. But right now, FGV is flat. Still at 1 ringgit and 54 cent. You got Zakaria saying, you know, that I will not go down quietly. Stock's like, yeah, we're not going to go down. I mean, we're quiet, but we're not going to go down. And it's not right now. 1 ringgit 54 right now, unchanged, but with about 1,655 lots changing hands so far right now.
Okay, we'll come back with more stocks in the news, including Axiata. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.